This episode of Ameripod was recorded August 8th at 6:30 p.m. 2017.
Dude, they've turned White House staffing into a reality television show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's The Apprentice. It's NBC's The Apprentice in the fucking White House. It's ridiculous.
Was Trump just like, hey, Scaramucci, you're a piece of shit. How about you come in here and just like make fun of people and tell everybody they're sucking their own cock for a week and then they'll distract everyone.
Hello world, welcome to the 28th episode of Ameripod. My name is Blake Mannion. We're gonna talk about Bill Browder today and a couple other things on the agenda. Gonna keep this podcast pretty short. Since we've all gotten our shit hacked this afternoon. Sitting with me at Soul South Studio is John Kelly.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello.
In Berkeley, California, Tyler Mayo. How are you?
Hey. I'm better before I was hacked.
And in Evergreen, Colorado, John Anderson.
From the HQ.
HQ.
E-town down.
No. Excuse me, I misspoke. The compound.
The compound.
The HQ is different.
Yeah, the HQ has yet to be built.
The HQ is more of a aspiration than it is a brick and mortar.
You're not quite the man in the high castle yet, John, but you're getting there.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Give us all a when couple of years.
Isn't there a new season coming out soon? Isn't like San Francisco going to get nuked? Which actually is a pretty good segue into today's news.
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
Well, let's hold off on North Korea here. And So, yeah, let's start with Bill Browder, and then we'll talk some other worldly news. But I don't know how many people listening to this podcast are familiar with who Mr. Browder is. He's basically a business person. Who has some details on Russian money laundering and corruption. Make a long story short, his lawyer was basically jailed in Russia, and he died in that Russian jail. But his lawyer, who I have his name here somewhere.
Last name.
Magnitsky.
Yeah, Magnitsky.
Yeah, Magnitsky.
Which is the...
First,
the Magnitsky Act was named after him, which has been the center of much of this controversy.
Yeah,
with the Russians.
So his lawyer was trying to uncover this Russian. It was a $230 million corruption scheme led by a number of Russian officials, and he was jailed while he was in Russia. Died of a heart attack, is what the Russians said, but it's believed that he was murdered to a degree, I guess. And it led to the Magnitsky Act, banned like a handful of Russians and froze a bunch of bank accounts.
It freezes assets specifically from Russia and for people that are involved with human rights violations.
Yeah, thank you.
It's basically targeted sanctions. Mm-hmm. Like you go in and you say, you know, Russian oligarch one has like $100 million in American assets, and we can freeze them and be like, haha, suck it. Mm-hmm. Along with other things like travel restrictions and some other stuff. So it's really important. The Don Jr. Meeting with the Russian lawyer, whose name I can pronounce.
So this is important. The reason why we're talking about this is because of her name is Natalia Veselnitskaya.
That's pretty close. Yes. Yeah, no, that's pretty close. She has been a huge advocate against the Magnitsky Act and these sanctions. And so this is speculation, but it's pretty easy to envision her in this meeting with Don Jr. saying, hey, we have all of this dirt on Hillary Clinton. If you will, get rid of the Magnitsky Act when you're in office, we will hand over this information, quid pro quo, collusion, et cetera.
Sure, sure. And furthermore, when the Magnitsky Act was first put into place, that's when Putin put in the orphan ban that was at the center of that meeting as well.
Right.
And whenever you hear Trump say we went and talked about adoption, he's really talking about sanctions. And that's actually a Russian talking point. He's adopted a Russian talking point, which is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And telling.
Yeah, and the bit about this that, you know, so where it really like drills down is that so that the Magnitsky Act was a retaliation against these basically barring from these sanctions that basically make it so you can't launder money or hide money in the United States. And the Magnitsky Act was in retaliation to that, was Putin basically just being like, screw you guys. Like, I'm going to do it in other ways. I'm going to hide it or whatever. And then they placed this act basically like, oh, this dude. So then Putin, sorry, it gets confusing. So then Putin put in this thing where...
Wait, no, are you saying the Magnitsky Act was a Russian act?
No. I'm sorry. The Magnitsky Act is what blocked these... this is not what I meant to say.
It was passed by Congress.
Was passed by Congress so that you couldn't basically do, you know, launder money through the United States or hide money in the United States. And you know, much more complicated than that, but that was what they were trying to do. Putin got upset and was like, that's not what's happening or whatever. Because according to Bill Browder, Putin personally has been making millions of dollars, off of hiding money and hiding it in the US. So then
it's important to note that Vladimir Putin could be the richest person in the world. It is very possible.
I think it's been confirmed.
Well, no, you can't tell because of his different accounts. He could be hiding millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, we don't know, but it is extremely possible.
Yeah.
According to Brad's story, he's been blackmailing the oligarchs.
Okay, Putin passed a law, or, you know, the Russian Congress, but whatever. Putin basically passed a law that United States can't adopt children from Russia. Like, United States, you know, citizens can't adopt children from Russia, and that's messed up because how it was set up, most of those kids just have disabilities, so it's just like equally, it just messed up to another degree, because it's not people like, I'm just gonna adopt someone and they happen to be from Russia. It was like, these are kids who are in need, actually. And so then there's this special council that's been set up with people both from the private sector, and of course they're now lobbying and have people who are elected officials on their side who are trying to repeal the Magnitsky Act under the guise of, we need to be able to adopt these Russian kids. But really what's going on is they're trying to get rid of that act so that they can then again hide money in the United States. And so the woman, forgetting her name, if anyone remembers, who is one of the main...
The lawyer.
We'll call her Natalia.
She was one of the ones who was in that meeting with Trump Jr. And the rest of the crew.
She was the one that basically said, I have dirt on Hill Dog.
Yeah, and she was the one who said
The deliverer of the news. So she's at the heart of this controversy. Can you imagine trying to explain this to your children? Or grandchildren? Well, just being like, so they're like, give me like 36 hours to explain this story to you.
So I was listening to Rachel Maddow earlier today, and I guess Putin or one of Putin's advisors came up with this idea to create their own Bitcoin as what's it called? Is that called a cryptocurrency or something?
Yeah. So what they're doing is they're looking at ways to develop their own cryptocurrency so that it is not traceable, so that you can get around sanctions.
Yeah, that's just insane to me.
Dude, that's what I was saying off air. The fucking internet is the Wild West right now. It is just absolutely bananas that this is going on, that we like are allowing ourselves to do this. And by this, I mean, like, put our entire existence on the internet, which is not secure in a fundamental way.
Right. Sure. Right. Sure. Right. Right. Yeah. It's kind of funny, like, that you would say that it's unbelievable that a criminal like Putin would try to figure out a way around a sanction. Like, I feel like that's his only job.
Did I say it was unbelievable?
Yeah. But doesn't matter. I feel like that's been Putin's entire life, is just figuring out ways around.
Oh yeah, he's an
KGB agent.
Yeah, and spies, killed hundreds of, like, probably hundreds of people at this point.
Yeah, you know? Blackmailing oligarchs, and now he's on the internet just playing Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah. I mean,
and he can score like 8 hockey goals without trying. If anybody, especially those hockey fans out there, want just like to make their day significantly better, I would suggest Googling Vladimir Putin playing hockey, because it's amazing. He's awful. He's so bad, and he plays with like the Russian national team, and he scores like 8 goals because everybody's afraid to play defense or stop a puck against him because they're all going to get shot.
So if they do. I heard that the puck and the goal are actually magnetized so that he can't miss.
Dude, it was so funny to watch the goalie just like purposely miss the shot. It was amazing. Anyways, non sequitur.
Is it true that Trump dictated Don Jr.'s statement of his email statement about the Trump Tower meeting?
It seems that he intervened in the statement. The advisors said, let's get everything out in the open, and he said, nah. And said it was basically a nothing burger, which was not true, and that was directly from the president. So this could further lead to legal inquiry against him and the people around him. It's amateur hour. It's total. They had no lawyers in the room when they dictated the statement. They were on Air Force One and their lawyers weren't there, and they just released it. That's dumb. House representatives don't do that kind of bullshit.
Right.
So how does this tie into Mueller's grand jury? Because
if I was Robert Mueller, I'd be like, you're lying to me? I wonder what that means. So, I mean, it just gives him another breadcrumb. Like, this, I think this is becoming a theme on the podcast. Like, we see all of these little breadcrumbs, and they keep leading towards lots and lots of shenanigans, probably around financial endeavors, like money laundering, like the fact that Don Jr. said, quote, a significant portion of our assets are Russian owned. Like,
whoops.
There we go.
Right.
Does anybody want to talk about the importance of Mueller hiring a grand jury or obtaining a grand jury?
I thought it was just to piss off conservatives. We like to complain about not getting a fair trial for the president.
It's a witch hunt, man. They're all in robes.
Wow, what a surprise to hire a grand jury in an area that Trump didn't win.
That article you sent me, Kelly, it said that a quarter of Americans believe that there are real witches.
That's true, according to that Atlantic article.
Yeah, by the way.
Yeah,
if you dig into polling data, you're like, no wonder Trump won.
Yeah. Seriously, though, if you're looking for a good read, go out and read the new cover story from The Atlantic. It's great.
What was this quote? Here, I got to read this quote. The quote says, during the past several decades, those naturally slippery slopes have been turned into a colossal and permanent complex of interconnected, crisscrossing bobsled tracks, which Donald Trump slid down right into the White House.
Great.
Yeah.
Great quote.
Yeah. And what was the I haven't read this yet. What was the context of that quote?
Basically, the context is that there's such a basically a society that's developed out of individualism and miraculous belief in the country from both the left and the right sides, that it has intersected the left and the right in different ways that Trump was able to easily exploit during the last election. It's a lot.
So by like individualism, we mean like anyone can get rich. American individualism.
Yes.
Bill Clinton becoming president from hope, like the whole nine yards.
Also the idea that truth is relative, that developed out of the countercultural revolution from the 60s and 70s, that brought about the idea that everybody's relative truth is more important than a strong truth at the base, has turned the extreme wings of both sides of both parties into more mainstream acceptable viewpoints.
The title of the article, if y'all want to look it up, the title, and this will explain a lot about what it's about, but the title is How America Lost Its Mind.
Yeah, by Kurt Anderson. Really fascinating. But we
how do we feel about this what did you call it? Relational truth? Or not
relative truth? Yeah.
Truthiness?
Truthiness.
Truthiness.
I mean, doesn't that, it kind of cuts down to the core of what we've talked a lot about here on the podcast, which is that we live in a post-truth society or a post-fact society after the Trump election. And so when you're past this idea of a single truth or facts being something that have to be believed in to be discussed properly, you bring up these sort of long-term ideals about how relative truth between two people could mean that there could be two truths out there revolving around one fact, because they both see it a little differently because of their backgrounds and because of their political beliefs or because of their history, personal histories or their religious beliefs. And so you get into this murky water where, is there anything such as truth, or is it all just relative between people, and everybody has to agree on a certain set of facts for it to be truth?
Yeah.
My impulse is towards, like, everybody gets to have, like, their own opinion, and they should be treated as valid. But, like, if the logical conclusion of that is the election of Donald Trump, then, like, I think I want to reevaluate that belief. And so, like, I am finding that I currently, in this moment, am struggling with my values and, like, the outcomes I see in the world.
Here's I think this was this is from the article by Colbert, and he said, I quote, and it's from one of his episodes several years ago, I believe, but he said, "I don't trust books. They're all fact. No heart. Face it, folks, we are a divided nation, divided between those who think with their head and those who know with their heart, because that's where the truth comes from, ladies and gentlemen, the gut."
Here you go.
That's from the White House Correspondents' Dinner, I'm pretty sure.
Was it?
I'm pretty sure that's when he told, he stood there next to George Bush and said that.
Amazing times.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
So the grand jury.
Yeah, significance.
I don't think we ever answered that.
Nope.
The grand jury is important because it can legally compel people. You can't lie in front of it without perjuring yourself, and it can legally compel people to turn over documents. So it's the logical – it's what we would expect in this process, basically. It's kind of it's not surprising news necessarily, but it means that, like, things are ongoing and continuing.
Mm.
And it just allows Robert Mueller to go after as many documents as he wants. Most recently, they are requesting all of Michael Flynn's documents from the White House.
And are they handing them over?
It was like a voluntary request, and I don't have an update on whether they're handing them over or not yet.
I mean, what's to
stop? They can compel them to do it. And if they don't hand them over, then they're in contempt.
What's to stop somebody from lying, though? Like, are they going to hook them up to a lie detector?
You would be...
How would they know?
No, you... If you... Well, so... This... We need to be prepared for the fact that this is going to probably take past the 2018 election, would be my guess. This is going to take forever. And part of the reason why is because they talk to everybody. They're going to talk to Michael Flynn's dog, his neighbor, like the person he gets coffee from in the morning, fucking everybody who's ever talked to Michael Flynn or thought about Michael Flynn. And therefore, they're going to be able to trace basically everything about his life and say, well, you lied about this specific statement. You lied about this specific statement. Then they can charge him with perjury and then send his ass to jail. So you don't lie to a grand jury because they're so comprehensive and scary. Right. And then they can charge you with perjury if you do lie to them. So that's what they got Clinton for, because he lied to the grand jury and then lied in his testimony. Yeah, I think to the grand jury. And then he had to argument about what the definition of the word is. And that's why we got there, is because he lied to the grand jury. Like, that's why that's an American artifact.
Fascinating. Yeah, I mean, the whole White House is a bit of a mess right now. And I mean,
Dude, it's Survivor.
Yeah, it kind of is. It's like a real life Survivor. Well, I mean, I guess
they turned White House staffing into a reality television show.
Yeah, it's The Apprentice. It's NBC's The Apprentice in the fucking White House. It's ridiculous.
And Scaramucci,
but he doesn't fire people to their face like he does on the show. He just leaves them in the rain on a fucking tarmac. Did you guys see that? Yes. That was so sad. They just left, right? They like came back from whatever trip they were on with Reince Priebus. Reince Priebus got in a car with a bunch of other staffers. Those staffers then a couple minutes later got out and they just left Reince Priebus on the tarmac in the fucking rain. Just
savage.
No, these motherfuckers are ridiculous.
Yeah. I feel like Scaramucci was that guy in the reality TV show who just like pops in for a quick second to just completely turn everything on its head, and then he's gone. He just disappears.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, yeah. Shortest tenure ever.
Did you guys see that his official start date was August 15th?
Yeah.
So he officially served negative days.
Oh, dude. And it gets worse.
Wow, that's amazing.
Isn't that absolutely amazing?
That's amazing.
What is it?
It's amazing.
Mean?
So it's actually, dude, his story is really shitty. So not only did he not start, but that means he didn't get paid, right? So he also owned this company. And he didn't file a certificate of divestiture, which would have granted him a special tax break for federal employees. So he's looking at having to pay like $12 million more in taxes than he would have or something.
This guy's like a billionaire hedge fund manager. Isn't he supposed to be smart with dollars? These people it's like winning at the fucking casino, right? Like, it's just random.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's probably why they put his hire date on there. So he was like, yeah, I work negative days, so I don't have to say that.
That's interesting. Maybe so.
No.
I mean, that would make sense to me. Why
I mean,
that.
Maybe. Yeah. But
list your accomplishments. First person to ever work negative days.
I mean, Ed, can we just say that that was the craziest few days too, coming from the White House?
Was,
and the
man.
Stuff that he that was coming out of his press secretary. Yeah.
His interview.
I never thought I would hear press secretary of the White House say that another member of the inner circle of a president tries to suck his own cock. Never thought of
you. Yeah, real thing.
It's a real thing.
They actually released the full audio of that call.
Yeah, dude.
Have you guys listened to it?
Oh, no, I haven't heard
that. Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. You can totally Google, like, hilarious. Ryan Lizza audio Scaramucci. They released the whole thing. I listened to it on a podcast. It's hilarious.
It's,
wow.
Yeah. It's
now, awesome. I usually don't. I'm always like, people are like, they're just putting this, they're just doing these things to distract you from this real thing happening. Sure, that's a tactic that they use, but I usually think it's overblown, and or it's just like people don't know what to look for. Therefore, and the media just caters to what people want to see, and the general populace just wants to be like, Scaramucci's an idiot. However, so usually I'm like, I don't know about that. But the trans ban, the military, and the Scaramucci shit came out the same week as the Bill Browder testimony. And you got to be like, I mean, was Trump just like, hey, Scaramucci, you're a piece of shit. How about you come in here and just like make fun of people and tell everybody they're sucking their own cock for a week and then they'll distract everyone? And then Scaramucci's like, I can do that. I can do that. Give me an ounce of cocaine. I can do that. Give me an ounce of cocaine. And, then, and like, that was it, you know? Like, maybe.
I mean, there's two like constructs of Trump, right? One is this like brilliant media strategist who like puppet masters all over. These are kind of straw men. The other one is like just the total bumbling idiot who has happened to like just get lucky. And without having specific knowledge, I think that he is a bumbling idiot. I think he's a carnival barker. And I don't attribute, like, because there's so much more going on. I don't think that his chief concern was the Bill Browder testimony.
Yeah.
I think, like, his chief concern was more than that. So yeah. I don't think so. I think he's just a stupid moron. Like, I think the trans ban was, like, because he watched Fox that day.
Probably. Now, the question is, pivot, is he concerned about North Korea?
Yeah, because he said we're gonna turn them to fire and ash or whatever the fuck he said earlier, which is so bad.
He said we're gonna come at them with like fury, fire and fury, I think he said.
Yeah, something like that. The problem with that is right now the scariest thing is fire and fury. They will be met with fire and fury. The scariest thing that can happen is miscalculation, is that Kim Jong-un freaks out because he thinks that Trump is coming after him and he decides to preemptively strike and then we're off to the races.
Yeah.
And so Trump saying something like this just exposes his absolute amateur hour understanding of the basics of like,
Sure. Yeah, a lack of any type of foreign relation tact. Let's put it that way.
This is when you say like we're all options are on the table. We're monitoring the situation. Obviously, we would like a peaceful resolution of the situation, but we are going to make sure that our allies are protected and our people are protected.
John, that's longer than 100. That's longer than 150 characters. You can 150 characters or less, John. Preferably less.
Negotiate! Exclamation point! Long. Sad! Exclamation point! How's that?
Yeah, but for real though, like the last thing we need is our president sending out these provocative messages to an already insane, now nuclear capable, you know, North Korea.
Well, and take out all of the nuclear part of all of this. I was just reading an article today that said that Seoul, South Korea is about 40, I think, miles away from the DMZ, and there are a bajillion artillery tubes on the other side of the DMZ pointed at Seoul, a city of 25 million people. If you take the city of Seoul and divide it into a grid of 3-foot squares, within hours, every single one of those squares would be hit by an artillery shell. So you would see millions of people die on the first day within the first 24 hours.
Oof.
With no nukes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're talking catastrophic loss of life in such a quick series of events. That's unprecedented in the modern era, really probably in human history. Mm-hmm. Millions upon millions of deaths. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so don't fucking, you know, strongman and talk shit, okay?
Yeah.
President Trump, I'm talking to your subconscious right now.
He has no self-control, and it's very concerning.
Yeah, it's very frightening.
Yeah. There's, Anderson, are you the one that posted the article about North Korea? Was that an MP, what was that? Was that an Atlantic article?
I think we've lost John.
Well, oh. Hacked again. I also want to say I think I fixed my hack. I think I was able to. Everyone, I was caught in a loop of not being able to change my password. I ran out of passwords to try because it kept being like, you can't use the same one again. So the one that I ended up using was like an expletive, the Russians, and then some numbers. So I hope that, so that's funny. Anyways.
Yep. Yeah, man. It's funny because as soon as you found out, I literally got my, what is it? The two-way authentication on my Gmail.
Yeah.
I got my password changed and my two-way authentication turned off, like literally 40 minutes before you were like, hey, my shit just got hacked.
This is a little off topic, everyone, but, you know, cybercrime is real. Maybe we'll go deeper into that in another episode, but like, yep, it is ramping up. I've been hacked more recently and I work at a place where we share offices with these people who just, like, they just get hacked constantly, like, but they have always been because of the nature of what they do. And we're just like, what's up? And they're like, yeah. Now it's definitely ramped up. Like, we're still, our firewalls are fine, but like the amount of attempts at hacks have totally ramped up.
Yeah. I mean, I've had to change my email password 2 times in the last 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just the start of it. I had my bank account around 3 weeks ago. And, I've also had my social security taken and had to deal with all that bullshit a few years ago. Oof. So it's real, man. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I think that about wraps up the conversation, huh?
Yeah. Everybody change your passwords. Be careful. And, let's hope that, president learns some, de-escalation skills in the next, 2 weeks.
Yep.
Right. If we're not blown off the planet, we'll be back next week for another exciting episode of Ameripod.
Yeah. Health to the air.
Hopefully see y'all next week.
Yeah.
It's like funny joke, but not funny. Anyways. All right, world. Take it easy.